I guess I'm in the misfits. I guess I did that. Pretty ironic. Today's message title is called, and it's a question, the hero or the zero? The hero or the zero? Our society, I don't know if you've noticed this, is obsessed with superheroes. Right? There seems to be this debate that rages, what's better, Marvel or DC? And you get people and they get really angry about this kind of stuff, Marvel and DC. So I think my top three are, and I can't really pick them in order, probably are Avengers. We're big movie, superhero movie fans. We like the Avengers, Infinity War, Captain America, Civil War, anything that's called war, we like. Thor, Ragnarok, we like Endgame, we like all that kind of stuff. I'm a huge Hulk fan, I don't know if you know that about me. But I rarely rage, so I don't know why I like him so much, and I'd never turn green. So, but I do like DC. I like all the Justice League stuff. I think they've made Superman super cool now, powerful. And then who doesn't like Batman? I mean, Batman's one of the coolest guys ever. The Flash is amazing. I like the Flash because I can barely run 5 feet, and he can run 5 feet and back within seconds. Anyways, I love Aquaman. I thought they did a great job with Wonder Woman. Now, some of you are like, I didn't come to church to hear about superheroes. Yes, you did. I as you can hear, I prefer Marvel to DC, but I like them both. Here's why I bring this up. As a follower of Jesus, have you ever felt like a superhero? There's you felt alive. Thank you so much, sweetheart. That is so nice of you. Have you felt alive, refreshed? Life has gone good. You've been saved from sin, Satan, and hell through Jesus Christ, and now you have eternal life. You feel like a superhero. You feel on top of the world, and finally, you feel you realize this is why I was created. This is who I was. I've felt like that before. Anyone else felt like that before? And how about as a follower of Jesus, have you ever felt like a zero? A zero. I mean, some of us might get closer to this than that, right? So you failed, right? You've allowed sin in your life, even though you know you shouldn't have. Temptation has felt too strong to resist. You know better, but you chose poorly. Maybe you feel disappointed in the way that life has turned out so far. Maybe you've had some doubts. Maybe you've committed your life to Jesus, but you find you're always struggling through this life and this faith journey. Guess what? I've felt like that before too. And I'm excited what God is doing at Bethel this summer in this sermon series called Misfits. This morning, I'm going to share with you about the life of Peter. One of the key disciples of Jesus, one of the most polarizing disciples that people talk about his fails more than they talk about his successes, right? And they say, oh, Peter, right? Well, many feel that Peter's a misfit. Who's Peter? For those of you that don't know, let me just quickly go through that for you. Peter is the disciple, right? So Peter's was a fisherman, and he had a boat, he had nets, he was out there fishing for his livelihood. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 starts off, says, one day as Jesus walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, one was Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, and they were throwing a net into the water, for they were fishing for a living. And Jesus called them out, said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. I love how Jesus talked to Peter, don't you? And his brother Andrew, he talked to him in such a way they would understand in fishing terms. I love how quickly Simon Peter and his brother Andrew followed Jesus. It says, at once. At once they left their nets and followed Jesus. Maybe they just hated being fishermen. Have you ever thought of that? Oh, I hate this job. Do you know that 70% of people hate their jobs? 70%. I mean, is that why they just left their nets and followed Jesus? They couldn't stand their job. Can you imagine going to a job you hate every day? You know what? There's this thing that you do when you go to work. You got to pay bills. That's why you go to work. There's lots of other things you'd rather do. Is that why they left? No, I believe it's not because they hated their jobs. It was because Jesus was the most mesmerizing, amazing person they'd ever encountered. See, I don't like fishing. I'll tell you why. I fish with some of you. I don't catch anything. I don't. I don't even call it fishing. I go boating, because when you don't catch anything, that's what you're doing. You're boating. You're not fishing. Listen, when I go fishing, my line always gets tangled up with someone else's line, and I'm always doing this, and everyone else is catching fish, and I'm just watching them, and you're in this boat that's uncomfortable. I don't like fishing. It's boating. And if I want to go boating, I want a jet, like a big jet thing going on and whatever. I want something fast, right? We go really slow when you fish. I don't think they left their jobs immediately because they hated their jobs. I just thought they were so mesmerized by Jesus. And he calls out and says, Peter, Andrew, come follow me. If you really want to fish, I'll let you fish for people. Immediately they follow him. Maybe today you don't follow Jesus. Maybe you used to, but you don't anymore. I want to encourage you today with all my heart, with all my passion, follow Jesus. Turn to Jesus. There's no better thing you could ever do than is to follow Jesus. Put your faith, your hope, and trust in him today. And I believe, just like he's done with me and just like he's done with many of you, he has changed our lives for the better. He's going to put you on an adventure that you never... Listen, I had no idea the ride that Jesus was going to put us on. We've learned some things since leaving here. There's going to be days and seasons and challenges ahead. Listen, you need Jesus to be with you, to comfort you through the storms of life. He promises us that he's going to be with us no matter what. He'll never leave us or forsake us until even the end of the age, it says. So Peter, go back to Peter. He was a natural born leader. You notice that in Scripture about Peter? He was a spokesman for the disciples, which was sometimes good and bad, right? He was part of the inner three disciples. Did you know that there was an inner three? I'm going to take you on a quick overview for a few of these Peter fails and Peter successes, okay? So let's just start with the encouraging part. Peter the hero. Matthew tells the story of Peter and the disciples and the book of Matthew, and they were in trouble because they were far from land. Remember this story? There was a strong wind, and they're fighting heavy waves in their boat, and it says it's about 3 a.m. Okay, who goes in the boat at 3 a.m.? I don't know. The disciples did because they're really brilliant. Jesus starts walking towards them on the raging waters. And they were terrified when they saw Jesus. They thought he was a ghost. Like, it's a ghost! And they were afraid. And Jesus speaks peace over their fearful hearts, doesn't he? And he tells them who he is. Look at Matthew 14, verse 27 says, but Jesus spoke to them at once, says, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. I mean, those words of Jesus are beautiful. Now watch this hero moment of Peter. It says, then Peter calls out to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you and I'll walk to you on the water. And Jesus says, yes, come. So Peter goes over the side of the boat into the raging waters and he starts walking on water towards Jesus. This is a heroic moment. Has anyone done that before? I literally have done preteen events at the pool and I said, hey, kids, I want you to walk on water. Go ahead. So you go on the side and walk right on the water. You know, every single one of them sunk. Not one of them could do it. And I said, I've done it before. And they said, how'd you do that? I said, well, I've walked on frozen water lots of times. They didn't like me for that. I remember seeing on Twitter this incredible quote from Jared Wilson. He says, Peter stepped on the water while trying to get closer to Jesus. May we all have as much courage as Peter. Listen, Peter was the only one to get out of the boat. All the rest of the disciples are sitting there afraid, looking, watching what was going on. They could have all got out of the water. Only one did. It was Peter. And then Peter turns from the hero to the zero in moments. He turns. Look at verse 30. He says, when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and says, you have so little faith. And he said, why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshipped him and said, you really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Peter saw his circumstances and got scared, didn't he? He took his eyes off of Jesus and put it on his circumstances and his situation. And this is an important detail of the story for someone in this place. You've taken your eyes off of Jesus. You've started looking at your circumstances, your situations. You're afraid. You're sinking. You don't know what's going on. Can I tell you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Do what Peter did. He cried out to Jesus and said, save me, Lord. I'm drowning. I'm going to die. Some of us need to do that today. Peter was a hero walking on water, and then he turned into a zero and started to sink. Your options in your life and my life is this. You either walk by faith or you drown by doubts. Then we see Peter was the hero, the zero, and then he became the rock, right? In Matthew 16, Jesus probably asked the most important question that everyone on this planet should answer. Let's look at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus often spoke in code. You know that? He's talking to his disciples and he said, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. And they're like, what are you talking about? He couldn't call himself the Christ or the Messiah, because if he did that, his ministry wouldn't have lasted 3 years. So he goes around saying, the Son of Man. Who do you say the Son of Man is? It was just another way to describe himself. I'm not really sure in this passage when they said, well, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some people are saying John the Baptist. Why would they say John the Baptist? It makes zero sense. John the Baptist was his cousin, right? He was just being beheaded, right? They were living at the exact same time. Why would they say that? Why did people say, oh, it was one of the Jeremiah or whoever, right? It implied that they were reincarnated. Now listen to me. There's something wrong with that. You know why? Because Jesus doesn't believe in reincarnation. You don't come back as someone else or something else. He believes in the resurrection, because he is the resurrection and the life. So this idea that you're going to die and come back as something else, no, you're going to die. You're going to be yourself the whole way through. Right? Just so you know, I get a little passionate when I preach. If you can't get passionate about the Word of God, what can you get passionate about, right? I mean, I think the Canucks are going to make the playoffs this year, but that's it. Like, we're not going to win it, right? So, got to stay calm here. Jesus asked the most important question. He says, who do you say that I am? I want to ask that same question to us this morning. Who do you say that Jesus is? Not who I say it is. Who do you say that it is, that he is? That's the most important question you and I will ever answer in our lives. Peter answered correctly. You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. You are God's Son. And Jesus calls him blessed. Well, Peter, you're blessed because God has revealed that to you. And then Jesus calls Simon a new name, calls Peter, him Peter meaning the rock. Now, this is a massive compliment. You couldn't get a better compliment than this. I mean, if God's going to change your name, you want it to be something super strong like that, right? The rock, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the rock. That's right, I'm the rock. And, you know, we have the rock now. He's nothing compared to Peter. The rock. And he says, on this rock of Peter, I will build my church. That's a huge statement. Why is that important for us to know? I'll tell you later. Okay, let's go down to Peter from the rock to the zero. Literally, okay, a few verses later. In fact, the very next story recorded, Peter goes from the hero, the rock, to zero. Jesus starts talking to his disciples more plainly that he's going to suffer from the hands of the Jewish religious leaders. He explained that he would be killed. And he says, don't be afraid, but take heart, he says, because I'm going to be raised from the dead on the third day. He was predicting and informing the disciples of his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 says, but Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. And he says this, heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you. Imagine rebuking Jesus. Have you ever done that in your life? And of course, this thing that he said to Jesus, this rebuke, this reprimanding, came out of a heart that loved Jesus and didn't want see anything bad happen to him. And then Jesus rebukes Peter with one of the harshest rebukes I've ever read in Scripture. In fact, I think it's the worst. Verse 23, Jesus turned to Peter and says, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. See, he refers to Peter as Satan. He called Peter and then indirectly calls Peter Satan. Sometimes our human thinking, even though we think it's awesome, is so far off the plan of God. We need God's view, not ours, right? Now, was Peter Satan? No, he was not. But he was trying to distract Jesus from the mission of Christ. And this was an antichrist desire, and Jesus called him on it, right? And then we go on to see that Peter, the failure. Remember when Jesus is getting arrested? When he's just about to he's being betrayed, he's getting arrested, and what does Peter do? He takes out a knife or sword or whatever and cuts off the ear of the guard trying to arrest Jesus. I mean, heroic moment, that was a zero, right? And Jesus is like, what are you doing? Now I gotta pick up this ear and put it back on, and he heals the guy's ear. You know, Peter had all these moments, right? And he's like, Jesus is like, listen, I've been telling you over and over and over, I'm going to suffer and die, and it's going to be okay. Because I'm going to be raised back to life. You didn't get it. Then Jesus tells the disciples that they're going to abandon him, and they're going to scatter. And remember what he says in Matthew 26, Peter declared this, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. I mean, what a bold declaration of faith. And Jesus replies, I tell you the truth, Peter, that this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happens. People come out and say, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you a follower of Jesus? No, I don't know him. I don't know. He does it three times. It says in Scripture, verse 75, a few verses down, it says, suddenly Jesus' words flash through Peter's mind before the rooster crows. You will deny me three times that you even know me. And he went away weeping bitterly. Peter fails Jesus. He did it three times, not once, not twice, but three. It's a major fail, right? In baseball, you're out, right? One, two, three, you're out, right? We know that. Some Christians, that's how we treat one another. You cross me once, that's fine. You offend me another time, that's so fine. Third time, you're done. Have you ever been ashamed of Jesus? Have you ever denied him? Peter knows how that feels because he's been a failure like that. Have you ever failed Jesus? I have. I want to tell you this morning some great news. I want to tell you, if you have, just like I have, repent. Because our God is a God of forgiveness. And he loves to pour out his grace and his mercy on us. You know what I've seen over the years is that God can make beauty out of ashes. You think your life is messed up, it's over, you haven't been doing what God's been asking you to do, he can make beauty out of ashes. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. One of the most beautiful things Jesus does after the resurrection is that he reveals himself to his followers first, and he calls for Peter. Listen, he calls for Peter. Peter just denied him three times. The last moments before he died, Peter is embarrassed. He ran away. He's weeping bitterly. He's saddened beyond belief. And Jesus says, "Where's Peter?" And he literally says, "Go get Peter." What an awesome God that we serve. An awesome God that Jesus is. Jesus is a God who forgives. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And then something changes. Let me tell you, he becomes Peter the Proclaimer. After the resurrection from the dead, and just before the ascension of Jesus back into heaven, he instructs his followers, go to Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, and so they all go, all 120 disciples, followers, all go to Jerusalem, and they wait. They wait, and on that third day, the Holy Spirit shows up in power. It bursts the church. They're sitting there in their meeting together, and all of a sudden, they hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. All of a sudden, there's little flames of fire above each person's head that you're not getting burned, and they start speaking in tongues, in languages they'd never heard, and the Holy Spirit comes down and fills each one of them, and something special happens, some kind of transformation happens, and as they're doing that, God is moving so powerfully in these lives. They're praising God in different languages, and there's all these people in Jerusalem walking around from different nationalities, different backgrounds, different cultures, and they can hear their languages praising God. They say, "What's going on?" They go in and look at this meeting that's going on. They're like, they're perplexed and they're confused. What is happening? How do these people know my language? And you know what their conclusion? They're drunk. They've been sipping grandpa's old cough medicine. They've been pounding it back down the liquor. They're hammered. They're totally drunk. That's what their conclusion was. And then it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 14, says, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. You know you're an alcoholic when you need it at 9 a.m, right? He says, verse 16, now, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel, and he goes on to share a message. Listen, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up and preaches his first sermon, calling people to repent, calling people to be saved themselves from this corrupt generation. And in that message, what happens at the end? 3,000 people get saved. 3,000 people repent of their sins, and it says they get baptized and they decide to follow Jesus with their lives. This is definitely one of those heroic moments, right? Have you ever had those heroic moments as a Christian? Something happened, you were able to lead someone to Jesus. See, something changed here. Not only was Peter a disciple and a follower of Jesus, now he's been impacted by the Holy Spirit, and he stops this up and down roller coaster Christianity ride. Listen, I used to be on that. When I was 16 years old, I was on this roller coaster Christianity ride. It was up and down. Listen, God had better plans for me than a roller coaster ride. I hate roller coasters too. I don't even hate, not only do I not like fishing, I don't like roller coasters. You know what's awesome? He's no longer struggling, but he gets strong. Peter becomes a pillar in the faith. He's an apostle of the gospel. He's a leader of the church. He's still human. Yes, he struggles, but can I tell you something? He struggles less. There's a maturing part in our faith that starts to happen. You still struggle, but you start to struggle less. Have you noticed that? There's something that happens. Maybe you start struggling with other things that you never knew were an issue. God's always bringing things up for us to work on. Did you know that Peter wrote a letter in the New Testament? I encourage you this week, read it. There's tons of brilliant things in there. So as I conclude today, how does this apply to us? How can you be a hero and not a zero? The answer is very simple. Follow Jesus and run to the things of God and run away from sin. Where are the heroes at? I need to kind of give us a reality check just for a moment. The only superheroes that we have are God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They can do things that we can't do. In fact, so much more if we're just honest, right? They are the superheroes. And we know that because God has called us with an unconditional love. He's loved us with that unconditional love. Jesus has broken the curse of sin. He disarmed the power of Satan, and he's released us from the grip of hell. Amen? See, he's made a way to heaven where there was no way. And the Holy Spirit has empowered us to be Jesus' witnesses to the world. And then God works through us to be heroes of the faith. So many Christians don't think they can be a hero. Oh, I'm just loves me. I remember I preached a message years ago. Can God use little old me? I remember preaching that here. Yes, he can. He can use all of us, right? And is Peter the only rock of Jesus' church? Absolutely not. He wants to build his church on you. Hallelujah. He just like he did with Peter, he wants to do it with you. So insert your name and on this, I will build my church. See, your life matters. He wants to develop godly characteristics in your life. He wants you to be an effective witness for him. He wants to send you and me to impact the world. Listen, you're going to meet people, and you know people that I will never meet and never know. They need to hear it. There's all kinds of people. You live in neighborhoods. They need to know about Jesus. They need to see his love. Will you let God build his church upon you? Will you be going into the mission? Because I want to encourage you today, you are the church. Like I said, it's not this building. This building is beautiful. By the way, I love all the upgrades. It's awesome. But it's not the building. It's not the building. It's you and me. See, I love Pastor Joseph's heart for Bethel and for Ladysmith, but you need to know that you are the church and God wants to use every single generation to build upon. Every generation is necessary. So it doesn't matter if you're a newborn like Catherine's little baby there, or if you're the oldest person in the church, and everywhere in between. We need every generation in the church. All hands on deck, amen? There are times in your Christian walk you just feel like a rock, though. And there are times you feel like a zero, don't you? I know I do. And that's the journey of faith. I wish I could stand here and tell you that following Jesus is always amazing. It's always wonderful. You're always in this mountaintop or soaring on the wings of eagles experiences. You know, wow, this is amazing. You have those times. But it's a lot in the grind of life. There are times of frustration where you're saying, I haven't gotten this yet. You still struggle with temptation. Why do I still fail? Why? Well, it's because we're human. And you know, I love that I'm human and I hate that I'm human. But God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. He knows your potential. He's patient with you. And when you fall, he gets you back up. He knocks off the dust and the dirt off of you and says, keep going, my child. You know, I got to tell you something I've learned. We've got to do something more than just praying. I've been to way too many prayer meetings where we're praying for a move of God. You need to understand something today. You are a move of God. You and I are a move of God. We can't hide. We can't deny it. We got to be the move of God. And I think I'm all for prayer. I'm all for prayer. I'm all for praying for a move of God. Lord, change hearts, change people, change communities, change neighborhoods, change cities, change countries. We can pray those things, but we need to rise up and stop being misfits and start being heroes. So I want to encourage you to stop being a zero, but start being a hero. I want to encourage you to be the real deal follower of Jesus. Be a part of what God's doing at Bethel. Bring people to Bethel. Be a person who follows God, like it tells us, that loves God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We need people like that. May I be a person like that. I'm not asking you to be obnoxious. I'm just asking you to be bold, to be courageous.